Would you turn back to John chapter 19? Andy Davis is going to bring the message for us tonight. Everybody remember him. Verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon a hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. What did the Lord mean when he said, it is finished? I need to know, don't you? I need to know exactly what he meant when he said, it is finished. I know the way men look upon this. Well, he did his part. His part's over. Now we need to do our part. His work is finished. Now we need to do ours. I know that's not what the Lord meant. But what did the Lord mean when he said, it is finished? Now, Matthew's account tells us he cried this with a loud voice. It is finished. He meant to be heard. What did he mean? The word it is finished means more than the end or the termination of something. It means to carry a thing out to the full. A perfectly completed work, never to be repeated. Whatever he intended to do, he did. It's finished. Mission accomplished. Now, what were the Lord's first recorded words? Does anybody remember? He said, I must be about my Father's business. During the middle of his earthly ministry, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. When he was praying for his people in John chapter 17 verse 4, he said, I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And hear his last words from the cross. It is finished. Now, what was the work the Father gave him to do? He said, I finished the work thou gavest me to do. What exactly was the work that the Father gave him to do? Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, a familiar passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He came with this intention. He shall save his people from their sins. When he said, it is finished,
It's no longer he shall save his people from their sins. He has saved his people from their sins. It is finished. Whatever he intended to do, he did. He shall save his people. Who are his people? I need to know that because I want to know if I'm one of them. Well, his people doesn't mean everybody. His elect. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you've given me. Talking about his elect. Those the Father gave him before time began. A great company that can't be added to, that can't be subtracted from. His people. I want to be one of them, don't you? The Bible tells us clearly that he's got a people. And I want to be one of them. He shall save his people from their sins. Now here's what I need to be saved from. My sins. My personal sins. My sin against God. My transgression. My breaking of God's law. My doing things that I ought not do. And not doing things that I should do. My nature. My sins. I could talk so much about my sins. I need to be saved from my sins because I can't save myself from my sins. He shall save his people from their sins. Well, how's that? Well, first of all, he saves his people from the penalty of their sins. If I'm one of his people, that means I'm never going to have to stand before God and give an account for my sins. Because I don't have any. Don't you find that attractive? You think of all the sins you have. To never have to stand before God and give an account for them. What a blessing that is. He shall save his people from the power of their sins. That means if he saves me from my sin, sin doesn't have dominion over me. And this is a promise of the gospel. Sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under law, but under grace. And so I say, Lord, don't let my sins have dominion over me because you said they wouldn't. I'm not under law. I'm under grace. He shall save his people from the very presence of their sins. That's glorification, justification. Sanctification, glorification. He shall save his people from their sins. Mission accomplished. It's already done. He has saved his people from their sins. Now, you know what that means? When he said it is finished, the salvation of his people was finished. The salvation of Todd Nybert was finished. Now this word finished is translated in our King James Version by eight other words, all of which give us some idea of what he meant. And like I said, I need to know what he meant when he said it is finished, don't you? I need to know exactly what he meant and what interest that I have in what he said when he said it is finished. Now let me give you the words. This same word is translated accomplished. It is accomplished. It's translated ended. It is ended. It's translated expired. It is expired. It is translated filled up. It is filled up. It is translated fulfilled. It is fulfilled. It's translated go. I can't wait to talk about that. When you've gone, I think it's Matthew 10:23, when you've gone, it's translated to go. It's translated paid. It is paid. And it's translated performed. It is performed. And all of those words give us a little more understanding of what he meant when he said, it is finished. Now let's consider them one at a time. First, it is accomplished. Look in verse 28 of this same text. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. That's the exact same word. Knowing that all things were now accomplished. It is accomplished. Do you remember what Moses and Elijah, when the Lord was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration and Moses and Elijah were talking about him. Do you remember what they were talking about? Luke 9:31 says, they spake of the decease which he should accomplish. You see, his death was an accomplishment. We don't normally think of death as an accomplishment, do we? His death was an accomplishment. When he said it is finished, he was saying mission accomplished. Now, what was his mission? Well, I've already quoted Matthew 1:21, but here's another one. Hebrews 9:26.
Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So when he said, it is finished, sin was put away. It was made to not be. My sin, the sin that grieves me so much, the sin that I'm even now aware of, put away. It's gone. 1 John 3:5 says he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. And all the sin that afflicts me, that burdens me, that troubles me, all my sin past, all my sin present, all the sins I've not yet committed. When he said it is finished, he meant every sin is put away. That's wonderful. It is accomplished. Now this word is translated end in Matthew 11:1. You know, Daniel said, he shall make an end of sins. Now when you read a book, what's the last thing you read? When the story's over, the end. The end. Story over, book closed. What about your sins? What sins? The end. Story over. Book closed. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It is ended. I like this. Thirdly, in Revelation 27, this word is translated expired. It is expired. It is expired. Now, do you remember what happened when he said it is finished? What took place after that? Do you remember? The veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Expiration date. The old covenant is expired. And notice God ripped it. He didn't fold it up and put it away to bring it back out again. It was ripped apart. The way into God's presence is now open. Expiration date. As far as law works, it's over. It's expired. You're not under the law, but under grace. Is it sweet news to you? You're not under the law. You're under grace. The law has expired. And then in Revelation chapter 15, verse 1, this word is translated filled up. It is filled up. Now when he said it is finished, he's saying it is filled up. Now, when you go to the gas station and you fill up your car, I know what I always do. When it clicks, I keep putting it in more and more until it won't take any more. I want to make sure it's plumb full to where you couldn't get another drop in there. If I had this glass of water filled up, if it was really full, like, see, you got some more room in here right now. But if it was totally full, you couldn't get another drop in there. Now, when our Lord said, it is finished, he said, it's filled up. Now, this is what this means. Is it's filled up. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in a body, and you are complete. You are filled up. You are full in him. I'll tell you exactly what that means. That means that God cannot love me any more than he does right now. He can't be any more pleased with me. I'm full of holiness. Holiness to the full. I can't get a drop more holy. I can't get a drop more righteous. I can't get a drop more accepted. I am plumb filled up. When he said, it is finished, he said, it is filled up. I don't know if Brother Elm brought this out last week. He told me he was, but I really like the thought of it. He talked about the church which can't grow. Did he bring that out? I like thinking about that. Because this church, when he said it is finished, we have a church that is, it can't grow. It's already filled up. Now there's plenty of room for any sinner who needs mercy. A lot of room. But this is a church that never grows. I think of all the emphasis people put on church growth, church growth. Church don't grow. It doesn't. He saved everybody in the church. Now there's plenty of room. There's plenty of room for anybody who wants to come. But understand this. This is a church that can't be added to or subtracted from. It is filled up. Believer, nothing can be added to you. Believe this. It's not presumption for you to believe this. It's faith. Childlike faith. Believing, when he said it is finished, I believe what he said to you. It's filled up. Now this word is also translated in Acts 13:49, fulfilled. When he said it is finished, he says it is fulfilled. The scripture is fulfilled. What was the first gospel promise? The seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's head. It's fulfilled. All the decrees and purposes of God are fulfilled. Daniel 9:24 says, he shall make an end of sin and bring in everlasting righteousness. It is fulfilled. He came to die and all of his suffering is over. It is fulfilled. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 23, it's translated go. He says, when you've gone over the cities of Israel, go. Now, I love thinking about this. It's finished. Go. Go into the Father's presence. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a red light. It's a green light. And there's no yellow light. No proceed with caution. Go right now. Don't wait for anything to happen. Don't wait till you get better. Don't wait till you understand more. Don't wait till you have some kind of experience. Don't wait till you quit this or start doing that. Go right now into the Father's presence. Just as you are. Go. Don't wait. Don't wait for something to happen. Go right now. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Okay, I'm coming to the Father by Him. Right now, don't wait on anything. What are you waiting on? To get better? That's ridiculous. Go right now into His presence. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 24, the word is translated, pay. It is paid. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now it's paid. Now, anybody here that has debt? Let's say you got your house paid off. How did you feel when you got your house paid off? Probably not many of us have experienced that. But you that have, I bet it was a great feeling, wasn't it? All debts paid. There's such freedom in that. I don't owe anything. Now, if Christ Jesus, when He said it is finished, that means I owe nothing. All my sins have been paid for. Receive this. Believe it. My sins have been washed away. It's all been paid for. What a liberating thought. And if he said it's paid, quit worrying about it not being paid. That's dishonoring to him to worry. Oh, I wish we would believe this just like a little child. It is paid. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 39, it's translated performed. It is performed. We stress over our performance, don't we?
You know, I want to perform a good job as a pastor, and it burdens me, whatever that means. You want to do a good performance on your work, don't you? Whatever it is you're doing for a living,
you want to perform well to the glory of God. You want to perform well.
I want to perform well as a spouse,
as a husband.
I want to perform well as a father. I want to perform well as your friend. We all want to perform well.
There's no doubt about that. Everybody here wants to perform well. But listen to me. It's performed. It's performed. And I have performed well. You see,
I've kept the law. I don't try to keep the law. I've kept it. Because if he kept it, I did too. His performance is my performance. It is performed. And because of that, I don't need to stress about my performance. My performance is perfect. Whatever he did,
I did. It is performed. David said in Psalm 57, verse 2, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God who performeth all things for me. What a word. It is finished. It is accomplished. It is ended. It is expired. It is filled up. It is fulfilled. It is paid. It is performed. It's finished. My dear friend, believe it's finished. If you believe that, you got no worries. You have full assurance because you're fully assured that it's finished. That's where full assurance comes from, not because you think you're so holy, but you're fully assured that what he did is enough to make you perfect before God, and nothing else is needed. Receive this. It is finished. Would it be presumptuous for me to receive this? No, it would be faith. Receive this right now for yourself. It is finished. Rest in this. There's nothing for you to do. It's finished. Rest in this. Rejoice in this. It's finished. Is that something to rejoice in? Is that something to make your heart leap for joy? It is finished. Preach this. Oh, this is the message to preach. It is finished. Not do, it's done. Nothing to do. Rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And come to him right now. Because he said it's finished. There's nothing holding you back. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. I love that description of the Lord. Meek and humble. Don't you love being around people that you don't feel judged by? That's my favorite kind of people. I can't stand being around people that I can tell they're sizing me up and judging me. I mean, just don't like people like that. But oh, you love being around someone who is meek and lowly. That's our Lord. He says, learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. What's so easy about it? He's the one bearing it. And my burden is light. You see, he bears all the weight. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. Now, there are no more glorious words I know of than these words. It is finished. And when you go home tonight, after today, when you will commit sins that you ought not commit, and you'll think things you ought not think, and you'll do things that you ought not do, and you'll treat people in a way that you ought not have treated them, you lay your head on your pillow and you remember this: it is finished. Let's pray.